Blog Talk Radio.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
Who are you? Who am I? Come closer and I'll tell you.
Much better than yesterday, I would think. I haven't been booted from my own show. I can't believe it. Amazing how things work around here. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio, the place where we open the show by whining and griping. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One, and I apologize, Dale. It happened last night because I thought it was your turn to feed the hamster. Apparently, it was mine.
I still think it's a gypsy curse, which we will be discussing at length a little later on. And provide you an opportunity to stick it to somebody.
That's right. And very important message coming in between our shows tonight. So yeah, you might want to stick around for that and for these great radio shows we got about gypsies tonight.
Yeah, we do. Oh man, different ends of the spectrum in terms of genres. On the darker side, we have The Shadow with Curse of the Gypsies, but then we're gonna come flip it over to comedy with Blondie. Yeah. And the Gypsy Queen.
Yeah, good old Blondie. It's so weird how that started out. It started out almost as like a soap opera type comic strip, in a way that actually Dagwood Bumstead came from a very rich and successful family, and Blondie was a flapper, and she still looks pretty darn good for being about 85 years old, I think is what she is, something like that. Anyway, when Dagwood started dating Blondie and married her, the family cut him off, so he had to become a working man. And that's how it evolved
into...
Went to work
for Mr. Dithers at the Dithers Construction Company. Yep,
and from there on, it worked more into becoming a comic strip rather than a soap operatic, I don't know what you'd call that, but soap opera type, where it's just like,
yeah,
Rex Morgan, MD, and things like that, and Mark Trail, and things like that, yeah.
And it's a good thing they did, because it was an endearing comic strip for so many, many, many years in newspapers. Gosh, even into our lifetimes, Dave, I remember Blondie still being published. 60s, even into the 70s. And those delightful.
It's still there now. At least we have it here in the Beacon. Oh. His son has taken it over, and we still have it here in the Beacon.
Ah, Chick Young Jr. is still at it. Wonderful.
Actually, I think it's Dean Young. Maybe it's a grandson. It's interesting to see, unlike the Peanuts, which are not in the Beacon, but in many newspapers, they have classic Peanuts. They don't add new ones to it. They only do the Charles Schulz ones. So it's just kind of interesting how some continue and some just kind of end.
Yeah. Oh, but Blondie endures. And those wonderful, endearing to me, at least, the King Features Syndicate, Blondie movies with Penny Singleton and Arthur Lake as Blondie and Dagwood, and the great cast, the kids, and even those wonderfully trained dogs that played Daisy and her pups.
Yeah, it was. They were fun movies, and when my oldest son was growing up, very young, he was a favorite of his as well. So, you know, it was a show that will fit all ages.
Yep. Yeah, and he it was more of a suburban thing because he, of course, went to work for the Dillard's Construction Company and got into lots of trouble with the boss. Hilarious antics. And loved running over the mailman. He was always late for work. And we'll hear an episode of the radio version, which Dave, until I started doing this with you, I'd never heard of a Blondie radio show. And surprisingly, or maybe unsurprisingly, since it's cast with the same folks, very much like the old movie comedies.
Yes, very much like it. And, not always a super big ha-ha comedy like several comedies were, but again, more like the movies. The movies weren't necessarily ha-ha roll on the floor, but they were just really fun movies. And that's what the radio show was as well. It had Penny Singleton and Arthur Lake. Arthur Lake even took it into television, doing a few seasons on television as Dagwood. This is a poor guy. Luckily, it extended as long as it did from movies to radio to television, because the guy was, I guess, unemployable otherwise. he was Dagwood Bumstead.
Yeah, he really was cut out for that role. See him doing anything else.
Although not fair to him, because to do something like that, I think you'd have to have some kind of talent to do that. But some people relished roles like that where they got to keep them and run them forever, and other people got tired of playing that characters, or the characters themselves became tired. And in Arthur Lake's case, it never became tired, and he never became tired of it.
I would love it, because then you could always go to the conventions afterwards when you retire, because it's like the Addams Family. Butch Patrick has income for life.
He can go to conventions, or he gets asked to come out to different events and bring his, he's got one of the recreations of the Munster Mobiles with him or something, or I'm not sure, but he was even right here in Akron, and I missed it because I was having trouble with some of my plumbing, and the wife wouldn't let me go.
There was something wrong with your plumbing. Well, Dave, we're getting older.
Well,
you know.
not my personal plumbing, with my house plumbing.
I see.
Yeah.
It's different.
Well, you're right.
You can always see a gypsy about that too.
You know what? You can, but I don't think gypsy charging by the hours would be as effective as a plumber, even though the plumber may cost more by the hour.
You still have the same feeling that you got screwed in the end. I'm so sorry. That was so wrong.
Yeah, that's better. I don't know whether to have a gypsy curse on me or a plumbing curse on me. I'm not sure.
They could be the same, because I'll tell you what. You get bad plumbing problems, you could run into a lot of dollars fixing that stuff. But we spent literally almost no dollars bringing you tonight's show.
yes, we did. Just another fun episode of Blondie.
Yeah.
Great place to start tonight.
I was just going to ask you, Dave, if you wanted to start out dark or light. Let's start out light, and then we'll end dark.
Let's start out
with
light.
The shadow.
Yes. Absolutely.
So,
Hanley Stanford was one of the was one of the Mr. Dithers, and he was also the second daddy on Baby Schnooks and Daddy. He was the one that people remember more from Baby Schnooks and Daddy with Fanny Brice. The very first daddy for Baby Schnooks and Daddy was none other than our good friend, Mr. Fred Flintstone. Alan Reed. He played the very first daddy on Baby Schnooks and Daddy. That guy was all over the place on radio. All over the place.
He was, and I'll tell you what, he had a very powerful voice, and very versatile. He could do many accents, and just a great entertainer. And we got great entertainers for you today, because we do have Penny Singleton and Art Lake in The Gypsy Queen. from Blondie. Yep. When did this series run, Dave? I'm not real familiar with the radio aspect of Blondie.
You know what? I looked up about everything but that. So let me see. Yeah, I think it started in 38, but let me get in there.
Because that's about when the movie started, too. It was 38 or 39.
Yeah, I think, let's see, we're right here. Blondie radio series ran from on several networks from 1939 to 1950. So you can't even say it was just one network. Started off on CBS, and you're right, it was associated with that. They were cast in the title role in the feature film in 1938. With Arthur Lake as Dagwood, and mm-hmm. the series produced in the first of a series produced 28 Columbia pictures. I had no idea. I knew there
yes.
were a lot. I had no idea there were 28 of them.
They ran into the early 50s when Mr. Radcliffe took over for Mr. Dithers.
Yes, and I'm just trying to think here. Yeah, she was. She left the radio series. Penny Singleton left in the mid 40s. Patricia
Dave,
Lake took over.
Dave, I don't mean to interrupt, but I could swear I heard your shoe ringing.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to sit on my cell phone right now.
Trying to
cut off the sound. My shoe phone was ringing, yes.
Yes. That's shoe phone.
The problem you have for having a cell phone where you can put on different ringtones. So.
Sorry about that, Chief.
So, yeah, Patricia Lake replaced her for the remaining 5 years of the show. And actually, Patricia Lake was married to Arthur Lake. How do you like that?
I was going to ask with the last name. I had to ask, but you beat me to it.
Yes.
Interesting. Helping hubby keep the income stream rolling in the declining years of the Blondie saga. Well, we're at the beginning.
Two for the price
here. When? What's the date on this one, Dave?
I think I've got April 22nd, 1943, I believe.
And we'll be back after part one.
Touch that dial. Listen to Blondie, brought to you by the makers of Camel cigarettes.
Extra, extra!
For extra flavor, get Camel.
Extra!
For extra mildness and extra coolness, get Camel.
Extra!
For extra smoking per pack, get Camels. The cigarette that gives you the extras. And now, before we drop over to the Bumstead house to visit Chick Young's famous characters, Blondie and Dagwood, a word from the makers of Camel cigarettes. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems that everywhere we turn today, we're confronted with speed and more speed. In our daily lives, it's hurry or I'll be late for my train. I can't stop now. I haven't time. Yes, universally, life has been speeded up. But there's a different story in cigarettes. Every day, more and more smokers, experienced smokers, are discovering that the extras in smoking pleasure are on the slow side, the slow-burning Camel side. Science puts it this way. Cigarettes that burn fast burn hot. And nothing so surely mars the delicate elements of cigarette flavor and fragrance as excess heat. Slow burning preserves these precious natural qualities, gives you more mildness, more flavor, more coolness, of course. Science also tells you which cigarette is slower burning. In recent impartial laboratory tests, Camels burn 25% slower than the average of the 15 other of the largest selling brands tested, slower than any of them. Yes, science points the way, and the experience of millions of smokers confirms it. Slower burning Camels give you extra mildness, extra coolness, extra flavor, and extra smoking, equal on the average to 5 extra smokes per pack. Penny for penny, Camels are your best cigarette buy. And now for our weekly visit with the Bumstead. It's morning, and Blondie stands at the foot of the stairs, sounding her usual reveille to the man of the house.
Hello, Daisy Benson. Go tell Daddy his breakfast is ready.
I can't tell you, Mommy. He's up and gone out.
Gone out?
Uh-huh. As soon as you went downstairs, he got up and got dressed and got out.
Well, how funny. I didn't hear him.
He went tippy-toe, Mommy.
Tiptoed out of the house without his breakfast?
Hmm.
Didn't he say anything to you before he went out?
Uh-huh. He said, good morning, would I like to be a gypsy?
A gypsy?
Uh-huh. Listen, Mommy. That sounds to me like our old car coming home.
Well, yes, it's coming up our driveway. Now we'll see what he's been up to. Come on, baby, the back door.
Mommy!
Hey, Blondie.
Blondie!
Good morning, Dad.
Good morning. I thought you were somewhere else.
No, Dagwood.
Listen, Blondie. It's here. I've got it. Oh.
Now, what, Dagwood?
A two-burner bed under the sink and a hot and cold running stove that sleeps more.
What on earth?
Of course, the voice help was extra, but it can go outside when we're inside or vice versa. And the same with pots and pans.
Now, listen, Dagwood. Count to ten, slowly. Yes. And then tell me what you bought and how much it cost.
Okay, $1, $2, $5, $6, $9. It's $69. And it's in the icebox.
So it is what, Daddy?
Huh? Dagwood, what did you buy?
Well, I keep telling you, honey. It's a trailer.
A trailer?
Yes.
One of those things you drag behind the car? Why, they cost hundreds of dollars.
Oh, no, honey. I mean, sure. But not this one. You see, the fellow that sold it to me had to leave town in a hurry.
Who was after him, Daddy?
No, no, baby dumpling. You don't understand. He didn't sell me the trailer because he had to leave town.
No, he had to leave town because he sold your father the trailer.
No. Now, listen, this was a bargain.
Well, let's look at it, Dagwood.
Sure, come on. On to the unveiling. Oh, boy. Hi, diddle-dee-doo. A gypsy right for me. There she is. How's that, huh?
Oh, goodness, it's...
Huh?
Well, it's a funny color, isn't it?
Well, we can make it any color. Hey, how'd it look to you, baby dumpling, huh?
It looks like somebody was moving their hen house.
Now, listen, it's bigger than it looks. Boy, what do you see inside? Oh, a regular little home. Our little rolling home on four wheels.
One of the tires blew out.
Yeah, our little rolling home on three wheels. To patch the tube, honey.
Goodness, what's all the hammering?
Yes.
Dagwood,
huh?
Are you going to hang all those pots and pans on the outside?
Sure, honey. We'll need stuff to cook in. Out on the open road.
You mean we'll stop overnight in this trailer?
And certainly. We're going places and seeing things.
Yes, and everywhere we go, people will think they're seeing things.
Huh? Oh, well, anyway, it's very tidy inside, honey.
I hope so. I like to have a place for everything and everything in its place.
Well, in this trailer, some places are for two things.
One place for two things?
Uh-huh.
How do you mean, Douglas?
Well, see, two of the beds flip over, and there's your table for one thing.
Oh, my. The street, baby. The table turns into two beds.
Uh-huh.
I'll bet there'll be crumbs in my bed.
No, baby. Those beds are for Daddy and Mommy. Oh.
Where's that baby sleep, Douglas?
Well, see, the sink kind of flips over, and there's another bed. Cute, huh, baby duckling?
Suppose I want a drink of water in the night.
Uh-huh.
Do I have to get under the bed?
No, baby. Look, we won't have to use the sink bed except for company, see? Because the stove flips over, too, and there's another bed. Oh, I'll show you. Look. This door is a little stuck.
Well, let me try with the door, Dad. Well, while you pull.
Okay, you ready? One, two. That's what I know. Well, I'll fix it later. Anyway, it's open. Walk right in, Blondie. Have a look around.
It's kind of sad, Dagwood. Are you sure it's safe?
Well, sure. Let me in there first. I'll show you. Now, see, I just crawl in,
Turn
around, and stand up.
Oh, Dagwood, did you hurt your head?
No, not very much.
Unless paint came off the roof.
Never mind the paint. The point is, this is a good, strong trailer, Blondie. Look at it. I'll jump up and down to show you. Safe as anything. Your solid little home on four wheels.
On three wheels, Daddy. On two wheels.
There. Now she's back on four wheels.
Well, that's nice, dear. But the stairs look kind of worn and ragged to me.
Well, they're down underneath where they don't show very much.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm going to paint the name on the trailer. I think of the right name.
Oh, is it going to have a name?
Sure, just like a Pullman car. How's about calling it the Blondie Bumpstead?
Well, no thanks, Edward.
Huh?
Oh, baby, I think that's our front doorbell. You go see.
Okay, Mommy. Don't name it after me, Daddy.
Yeah. Well, gosh, it's kind of an honor to have anything named after you, isn't it?
Well, that depends, dear.
I did think I might call it the Spirit of J.C. Diddy's Construction Company.
I wouldn't, Edward.
Why not?
Oh, look. There was a name on here. It's painted over. It says, Miller's Midget.
Oh, yeah. Miller's the one who sold it to me. See, two of his midgets got a divorce and he needed something larger.
Oh, Daddy, Mr. Dibbers is in the house.
Mr. Dibbers? Edward, did you know he was coming?
Oh, sure. I wired the boss to come back from Dobson's Lake.
He's all dressed up funny.
Funny?
Uh-huh. He's got on striped pants and his coat is long and fat and it says instead on the front.
Oh, that's his cutaway, baby. Guys, he's doing it upright.
He's got a tiny black hat on, too.
Yeah.
A silk hat?
Uh-huh.
Dagwood, what in the world for?
For the christening, honey.
The christening?
Sure. One thing Mr. Dibbers loves is a christening. Oh, he'll go miles to be a godfather.
Dagwood,
huh?
You don't mean he's going to christen in the trailer?
Sure, if I can think of a name in time.
What'll I tell Mr. Dibbers, Daddy?
Oh, the time the christening will be out here by the garage.
Well, I don't know what he'll think when he sees what he's going to christen.
Oh, I bet this trailer will bring out the gypsy in him right away.
Huh? I never saw a gypsy in a silk hat.
Gypsy? Hey, how would it be to name the trailer the Gypsy Queen?
The Gypsy Revenge would be better. Come on, let's see Mr. Dibbers at the back door.
Okay, honey. I wonder how he looks in a silk hat.
Okay.
He doesn't change a bit.
Okay, where are you?
Right here, Mr. Dibbers. Come on out.
I got your wire and dropped everything. Well, where's the baby?
Well, there isn't exactly any baby, Mr. Dibbers.
Huh? No baby? You mean the christening is off?
Oh, no, Mr. Dibbers. We're christening the Gypsy Queen.
Hey, who in the name of the seventh of suspicious sisters is the Gypsy Queen?
Stand aside, Dagwood, and let Mr. Dibbers see her.
Sure. Look.
Oh. Oh, what's that?
It's our new trailer.
Her name is going to be Gypsy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
It ought to be Sousy Lil.
Yeah?
Now, see here, Bumstead. I leave an important job, come 200 miles, get all dressed up for this.
I smell moss.
Oh, baby. Quiet, baby. Excuse me till I whisper to Baby Dumpling. Is it baby now?
Okay, Daddy.
Thanks for wearing your silk hat, Mr. Dibbers.
I thought we were christening a baby.
Oh, this is better than a baby christening. Listen, you can't break a bottle on a baby, can you?
Are you breaking a bottle?
Sure, you bet. Just like on a battleship.
Oh, do I break the bottle?
Of course you can. Can you, Daddy?
Sure. I wanted an very important man to launch the Gypsy Queen on her travels.
Well, I always did like breaking bottles, but I don't approve of wasting champagne.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, that's what I thought. So, I got the ginger ale.
Oh, I found that bottle of ginger ale last night.
No ginger ale, Daddy, but I brought a bottle of ketchup.
Ketchup? I didn't come all the way from Dobson's Lake to break ketchup bottles.
Oh, it's better than champagne, Mr. Dibbers. It makes more score.
Sure. Now, don't back out on us now, Mr. Dibbers. Listen, you go ahead and christen her with the ketchup, and I'll tell you what we'll do. Oh, we'll drive you all the way back to Dobson's Lake in style.
Yes, you can ride in the trailer. Yes.
Well, is it easy riding?
Sure, just like a private car.
Can we start right after the christening?
Oh, yes, our bags are all inside.
Well, I'll have to wear what I got on. All right, I'll Christmas. Stand back, everybody.
Yes, stand back, Blondie.
Stand back, baby.
Bring on, Mr. Dibbers.
Don't worry. I'll hatch off.
Yes, I am.
I christen thee the Gypsy Queen. Oh!
Bring a bottle, Daniel Brown.
Look at my hand, bug.
Oh, that's only a little question. The cork came out.
The bottle, Daniel Brown.
Well, something broke. Oh, look at that hole in the trailer. It smashed right through the side.
Well, you ought to have stronger sides or weaker bottles.
I can put my head through that hole.
You can put your head through the eye of a needle.
Oh, never mind, Edward. It needed more ventilation anyway. Now, Mr. Dithers, you get in the trailer and make yourself cozy. Dadwood and I will drive the car. And, baby, you can keep Mr. Dithers company in the house.
Yeah, come on. Oh,
Dadwood?
Yeah, sure.
Then we're off.
Oh.
We're off for the open road.
This is the open road, all right. I never saw anything opener. Do you know where we are, Dagwood?
Well, I've been going by that map, but there's something wrong. We should have passed three towns in the last 40 miles.
Let's see the map.
Six.
Why does the map say Idaho on it, Dagwood?
Huh? Why, because the map... Hey, we're not in Idaho. Are we?
Of course not, dear. You've been going by the wrong map. We're lost.
Well, we can't be so very lost. You want to go to Dobson's Lake, and we're not in Idaho.
Well,
Dobson's Lake isn't in Idaho either. Hey, what's that?
Thunder. It's going to rain.
Maybe that's why it got dark so early. Oh, well, I hope that trailer doesn't leak on Mr. Dithers.
Listen, slow up, Dad, but yeah. There's a sign by the road.
Golly, why doesn't the Gypsy Queen slow down when I do?
Look, Edwin, huh? The sign says... Camp crawling. Trailers welcome.
Yeah, it looks like a hobo jungle, doesn't it?
Oh, where it's raining. You know, maybe we ought to stop here, Dagwood.
No, honey. If I don't get Mr. Dithers to Dobson's Lake tonight, the least I can do is stop at a nice place.
I know, but that's a steep hill just ahead.
Oh, we'll make it okay. Oh, maybe when we get up high, maybe we'll see a better place to stop, huh?
Well,
here goes.
Goodness. I hope Baby Dumpling can keep Mr. Dither's mind off this ride.
Yeah, well, look, tune in and hear what they're saying back there, Blondie.
Hmm? Tune in?
Sure. Didn't you see my invention?
No.
Well, look, pick up that rubber tube that comes in the back window there.
Oh, a speaking tube?
Speaking or listening. It runs between us and the Gypsy Queen. Pretty good, huh?
If it works.
Sure it works.
Oh, Dad, what it does. I can hear Baby Dumpling talking.
We'll continue this little fun adventure with Blondie in just a bit.
Yeah. Cute little adventure, and their car sounds like Jack Benny's Maxwell, doesn't it?
It does. It chugs the same way.
Other people who were in the cast of this was Leon Lettix, who was Alexander and a Cookie Bubstead, Tommy Cook, Alexander as of May 1943, Larry Sims, Alexander, summer of 1946, Jeffrey Silver. I guess, you know, because you get older, if your voice changes, you can't do that little Alexander anymore. Jeffrey Silver, Alexander by 1949, Marlene Adams was Cookie by 1946. Norma Jean Nielsen was Cookie in 1947. Joan Ray, Cookie after 1947. Hanley Stafford, of course, was J.C. Dithers. And let's see, Elvira Allman was Mrs. Dithers. Frank Nelson and Harold Perry. Hal Perry, the great Gildersleeve, was Herb Woolley. Arthur Q. Bryan, who was Doc Gamble and Floyd the Barber on the Great Gildersleeve show. He was Harry Lang, as Mr. Fuddle, and Dix Davis was Alvin Fuddle. Mary Jane Croft, that's a name that came up in not only radio, but a lot of early television, 50s television, was Harriet. Viola Vaughn and Lorraine Tuttle was Dimples Wilson. Harry Lubin, Bill Arts, and Lou Kostoff supplied the music. So, wow.
That is pretty
amazing. 1938 to 1950, ran for 12 years on a sitcom. Arthur Lake was actually looks like about the only person to stay the entire length of the radio show.
Yep. Again, I mean, even his hair was perfect. It looked just like the cartoon version of Dagwood with the little cowlick sticking out.
Yep. In 1954, Arthur Lake and his wife, Patricia Lake, co-starred together in an early television sitcom called Meet the Family. So it was, I have never seen any of those. I've seen some of the Blondie television episodes, but I've never seen the Meet the Family. So
I saw
obviously
her.
Not a very.
Was she in a Twilight Zone maybe or something? She was quite a bit older, but I'll tell you what, she still was a very attractive woman as she got older. Penny Singleton.
It could be. Well, Penny Singleton?
Yeah.
Is that,
she was like
about?
In a Twilight
yeah,
Zone or an Outer Limits or something. Some 60s show.
I would really have to look that one up. I didn't realize she was in a Twilight Zone.
I'm not sure.
She had a tremendous singing voice. She did some, well, again, since she left early by 45, she had, still had a career ahead of her, and she did a lot of singing, had a tremendous singing voice.
I'll never think of her as anything. But
didn't she sing on a couple of the Blondie movies?
She probably did. She was in Sounds and Silences, Twilight Zone, in 1964.
I didn't realize. I'm trying to.
I knew she was in one.
Sounds and Silences, okay.
And her character's name was Mrs. Flemington, per IMDb.
Okay, and I think that was the one where the guy was always fussing because things were too loud, and then things progressively got louder, I think, and then he couldn't hear anything at all.
Yes. Yes.
She was
like boisterous. John MacGyver played him.
John MacGyver. That's yes, yes.
Yeah.
And she was. I think she was a maid or an assistant or something like that.
No, she was his wife. She was his wife.
Oh, she was the wife. Okay.
Yeah. He was Roswell Flemington, and she was Mrs. Flemington. That was a great episode.
Trying to think what else. Look at what she did beyond Blondie. She was the voice of Jane Jetson in Jetsons the movie in 1990.
Yeah.
That was kind of a CGI version of the Jetsons. I actually took my boys to the theater to watch that.
She played in Death Valley Days, a show called The Best Man, but her scenes were deleted. Murder, She Wrote. She was in Mildred.
Yeah, and
she also played in the. She was the voice in the TV series as well as the movie in 1990.
Yeah, she also was. She was Jane Jetson in Rockin' with Judy Jetson.
In the 80s.
In 88. Yeah. She was also Jane Jetson in Hanna-Barbera's 50th Yabba Dabba Doo celebration. So, she kind of clung on to that one.
Yeah. Hey, when you get steady work as an entertainer, that's why I said if I were an entertainer for a living, instead of a passion or a hobby, I would not mind being pigeonholed into one role. I would just milk it for all I could.
You get the people who are afraid of that, redoing their song over and over and over again because that's all people remember. Yeah, but you know what? They're remembering you. Play it. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
People are paying to come see you.
They're loving you. That's gold. That's so rare.
Yeah.
And if it lasts, oh, my God, that's even better. Yep.
Yep.
Oh,
so,
God,
but, you know,
movies ran from 1938 through 1950. She played Blondie movies. Jeez. That's a run. That is quite a run.
That's I can see why, if you got tired of working, yeah. But to each his own, there are some people, seems like Rob Morrow, never finishes the series he starts, people like that. But it does make you wonder. What makes people tick sometimes, not that you or I have anything to worry about being that.
No, especially me. Hey, Dave, we got a lot of radio to go. Let's get Blondie wrapped up. This is a fun little story. I hope you're enjoying it, folks. Here's part two of The Gypsy Queen.
Oh, you like that, eh?
Well, that Disney's been thinking about the thunderstorm.
Now, a big boy like you isn't afraid of thunder.
I'm scared.
Oh, quiet.
I'll tell you another story to soothe your nerves. Now listen. Once upon a time, a little gnarled up dwarf lived in a dark cave that was full of man-eating bats. This dwarf didn't have any taste. I want an umbrella. This roof is leaking. Here, talk to her through this tube. Tell your father to slow down, too. Good tire. Let me have that tube. Hey, Bumstead! Bumstead! We're riding on a bat! On the rim, Bumstead! It's like all your father's inventions. They never work when you need them. There goes another tire. Bumstead! Bumstead!
Now that we're on top of the hill. I didn't hear anything. It's too dark to see anything either.
Well, holler through the tube there.
The tube's gone. Huh? Something jerked it out of my hand.
The tube's gone?
Mm-hmm.
Gone where? Wait till I wipe off the back window. Yeah, now, I can see. Hey, the trailer.
What?
The trailer's gone too.
God,
we must have lost it on the hill.
Oh.
Well, we'll return to the Bumsteads in a moment, but first, there's one thing that's known to cigarette smokers everywhere, and that's the phrase, I'd walk a mile for a Camel. Yes, more smokers prefer Camel cigarettes than any other brand. Camels are made from finer, more expensive tobaccos. They're slower burning, and they give you extra coolness and extra mildness. Being slower burning, Camels are free from the irritating qualities of excess heat and too fast burning. Camels are mild, easy on the throat. Camels are cooler, too, for naturally, the slower a cigarette burns, the cooler the smoking. And because slow burning preserves the natural flavor and fragrance of fine tobaccos, Camels give you extra flavor. Economy, too. Slower burning Camels last longer and give you extra smoking per cigarette per pack. In recent Impartial laboratory tests, Camels burn 25% slower than the average of the 15 other of the largest selling brands tested. Slower than any of them. And that means a smoking plus, equal on the average to 5 extra smokes per pack. Now, if you live in a community where certain state cigarette taxes are in effect, you can save the cost of the tax through smoking Camels. If there are no added taxes where you live, the savings are all yours. Yes, there's more pleasure for puffs and more puffs per pack in Camels. That's why smokers say, I'd walk a mile for a Camel. And now we return to Dagwood and Blondie, who've traced their runaway trailer to the bottom of the hill and right into Camp's crawl in.
Oh, thank heavens they didn't tip over, Dagwood.
Yeah. These tire marks looked like they were riding on two rims and two tires, and that kind of slowed them up.
All right, Sherlock. Just find that trailer. I want to see if my baby's all right.
Oh, golly, so do I. But I'm not so anxious to find Mr. Giddes. Golly, I wonder what he thought when they went coasting into this hobo camp.
Oh, hurry, Dagwood.
Pretty dark to go very fast. Oh, let's holler for them.
Hello? Hey, listen, I thought I blew out. That sounds like the Gypsy Queen, all right. Where did the sound come from?
Oh, there goes the last tire.
It's over there.
Yes, yeah, come on. Here it is, Blondie.
Oh, baby, are you all right in there?
Yes, so we sure got that door open.
I'll open it.
The door came off again, Daddy.
Never mind. It'll let some of the water out.
Out?
Yes, out. It's up to my ankles in here.
Hello, please.
Oh, baby Dumplin, I'm so glad to see you. Mommy will light a fire and get you warm.
Yeah, who's going to get me warm? I knew it.
Listen, I can fill that boy tub I brought with water.
Is that about to the apples, Daddy?
No, baby Dumplin, but we'll heat the water and soak your feet. If I can find enough water to fill a tub.
Well, you want water, eh? Just ring me out.
I'm afraid you're catching cold, Mr. Diddy. Wait,
I'll light the oil stove. Come, baby. Mommy will drive.
Hey, here's your tub. Oh, and you know what? Our tires didn't blow that bad. They're still too good.
Nothing like two good tires on a four-wheeled trailer.
Yeah. You see, the noise we heard must have been a backfire. That means there's another car in this camp.
Well, what are you standing there for? Go find them.
Huh?
Yeah, you get some help. Get a jack. Get some boards. Get the tires changed. Get out!
Yes, sir.
And get me out of here by tomorrow noon. I'm going to speak at the up to this club.
I think your sneeze is a little better, Mr. Vivers.
Well, I'm getting lots of practice. Where's the fire we're going to light? Where's the hot coffee we're going to have?
Well, I'm afraid there's something wrong with the stove and the sink. When I put water in the coffee pot, it was kerosene. When I turned on the stove, it played water like a fountain.
Elementary, my dear Mrs. Bumpkin. Dagwood's got the feed lights crossed up.
Oh.
Light a match and I'll look.
Well, I'm afraid all the matches are wet, too.
Well, maybe I've got a dry match. Oh, yes. Just one. Now, stand back while I light it.
Oh, it lights. Now, be careful, Mr. Dibbins.
Don't talk. It makes a draft that I...
Get the match out, Mom.
Oh, Mrs. Dibbins, I'm through. I'm going. Where's my hat?
Where's Mr. Dibbins' silk hat, baby?
Here it is. It's got some water in it.
Ah.
You said put something under the leak in the road.
Oh, baby.
I'll go without a hat. Where's your car?
Out by the road. But wait, if you drive home, what'll we do?
Who said I was driving home? I'm going to find a garage, get new tires, get you all... out of here.
Hey, Mommy, that's what made the window shake.
I was leaning against the wall. How many tires do you need? Two? Tires.
Three tires now.
All right, I'll get three tires.
Oh, I'm afraid.
I know. I'll get four new tires.
Somebody's staying in that car all time.
So maybe wait the baby. No one needs a Tom, Jenny. I'll see who's outside.
Here's a lantern, Mole.
Who's there?
It's just me. I saw your light.
Bless my soul. It's a young fella. Wet to the skin. Jenny, make room by the oil stove.
Huh? Well, I don't want to crowd you. It might be a free way.
And why wouldn't they be a night like this? Come in. Have you all?
Huh? Well, no.
Hungry, too. Jenny, dish up the mush. We got company for supper.
Oh, no, thanks.
There's only one help left, more.
As long as there's any, you'll turn no hungry man away. Sit down, mister. Oh, I'm afraid I'm robbing you.
Oh, no, no. We've all had Bart and Eddie, and he's out looking for work, bless him.
Eddie found something to eat somewhere, more. Yes, he'd be back by now.
Is Eddie your husband, Mrs. Prim?
Oh. No, sir. Eddie's my boy and the man of the family now. Now, Mr. Friend has passed on.
What is 15?
Guys, and he supports you?
He does what he can, and so do we all. You're not eating your lunch, mister.
Huh? Oh, it's very good. Are you sure you've eaten, Mrs. Friend?
Oh, I'm on kind of a now diet, you might say. I don't need so much, me not working.
Do the three of you travel in that automobile out there?
Four of us, but the baby takes no room at all. Someday we'll stop traveling.
It'll be good to stop traveling. For many years, traveling.
Golly. Oh, we'll get along. Now, come on, eat your mushy. Huh? It's better than it looks.
Oh, it's fine. That's not what's wrong. But, oh, you can't fool me. It was your supper, all you had, and you gave it to me when you didn't even know my name. Listen, I only think I'm hungry. Right over there, somewhere, I have a trailer just... Well, it's up to eat, and a little wife that's the best cook in the state.
Bless my soul.
Yeah, and I was sorry for myself till I met you. Now, you know what we're going to do? We're all going over to my place for the best supper you've ever had.
A little more cake, Mrs. Green?
No, thank you kindly. Maybe Eddie, though, he works hard and all.
Eddie's gone to sleep.
getting up.
We don't have to excuse him. It's so warm and cozy in here.
Yeah, it's dried out pretty good.
I'm glad I got the stove working.
It's a lovely stove. Isn't it, Benny? She's a pretty kid. Well, I don't know what you'll think of us all. You're done used to eating so hearty.
You're the nicest family I've met in a long while.
You bet. Taking me in, a stranger and all.
Oh, I don't expect there are any strangers, mister. There's one father to us all.
You must tell me how you made that mustard hot, Mrs. Green. Bagwood says it smells delicious.
Oh, yes. No, I don't expect it would do for, well, rich people.
Rich?
You may not. Well, now I'm glad for you, but you must be well off to live in a lovely little house on wheels like this.
But, you like this trailer?
Oh, it's a real pleasure to sit in it. I wish my baby was old enough to know the nice bed he was sleeping in. Sheep, too. Clean sheep, like we used to have at home.
Look, Mrs. Friend, we don't exactly live in this trailer. We just...
Oh, God, wait.
Huh? Golly, she's Mr. Diddy. He brought back the car.
With tires for the trailer, I hope.
Are you moving on tonight? Well, I'll just rouse up my young
one. Oh, no. Let them sleep a little longer.
I'm coming.
I'll go with you, Dadwood. I want to talk to you.
We'll all help you put on the tire.
Oh, no. And the morning will be time enough for that.
Well, I'll just get up the place for you whilst you're gone. My, this is handy, though. I think right by the stove. Hot water.
Put the last tire down with the others. Don't let her hear it.
Coming to tune in there while she works.
Oh, Bagwood, I'm so glad you agreed with me.
Well, she needs it more than we do.
We'll enjoy it more this way than if we kept it ourselves.
Yeah. Honey, have you got the note to read for her?
Mm-hmm.
Well, read it to me again.
Well, I'll have to get in the light from the doorway. Can she see?
No, she's still humming.
The note says, "Dear Mrs. Green, we're not coming back. We want you to have the home on wheels you like so much. Rest well in its clean bed. Warm yourself at its fire, as we were warmed by a glimpse of your own cheerful heart. Goodbye, and good luck always. Blondie, thank you."
Mm-hmm.
There's
what she's humming in there.
Goodbye, Mrs. Green.
And good luck always.
Please, bring me home. Now, Bagwood.
Well, folks, in just a moment, we'll give you a brief synopsis of next week's Blondie story. But first...
Extra!
Camels give you extra flavor.
Extra!
Camels give you extra mildness and extra coolness.
Extra!
Camels give you extra smoking for fat. Try Camels, the cigarette that gives you the extras. Camels bring you two other great shows each week. On Saturday, there's Luncheon at the Waldorf with Ilka Chase. You'll find it a new high in daytime entertainment. On Saturday night, tune in and hear Bob Crosby and Mildred Bailey featuring music with a heartbeat. And next Monday night at the same time, tune in on Blondie. We think you'll get a chuckle out of Dagwood's experience on the witness stand. Well, that's a tip for your radio enjoyment. And for your smoking enjoyment every day, try Camels, the cigarette that gives you the extras. Beginning next Monday, due to daylight saving time, Blondie will be heard 1 hour earlier on many of these stations. Consult your newspaper for exact time. Blondie is written and directed by Ashmead Scott. And this is Bill Goodwin speaking for the makers of Camel Cigarettes. Good night, all. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And you're listening to Erie House Radio with Dave Binkley and Dale Kay.
I got a question for you, Dale.
Yes, sir.
Would you walk a mile for a flavorful Camel?
Ah, probably. Cigarette, yes.
I was going to say, you know, maybe if it were barbecued or something. I don't know.
Yes. Fricasseed. Fricasseed camel.
Oh my! It's amazing how they can make. You know, I think it's just amazing on these old radio commercials. They can make cigarettes sound almost healthy for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, they almost did in some of the old ones. 9 out of 5 doctors or whatever. 9 out of 5.
Yeah.
5 out of 9 doctors smoke camels. Hey. And
yeah, something
did.
Like that.
They're puffing away while they're examining it.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh my! Are you garbling out on me or?
No, I'm okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're kind of garbling.
Oh.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, but not like ours. You know,
oh yeah.
Not like that.
In honor of you, big guy, we're keeping our eye
on
you. Yeah,
that's for you, guy. Yep. Hey, get the. And I know he's got the medication he's taking, and just very sensitive to lights right now. So it's kind of hiding away in the bat cave is what he's doing, I think.
Like a gremlin. Bright light, bright light.
Yeah.
Is it time to pay the bills?
It is time to pay the bill. And as such, we have this message for you. Are you tired of getting tongue-lashed, beat up, or ignored?
Sometimes it sucks to be you, but it doesn't have to.
In our search to make your life better and enrich ours, we found a perfect place for you to take care of all your needs and still turn a buck.
Because we put together a place where you can find love or exact revenge. And that place is the GypsyCurseWarehouse.com.
That's right. By holding a Romany princess hostage, we were able to extort over 700 gypsy curses.
Some of those were directed at us, but we wrote them down anyway. Time, you have the opportunity to get your own curse to use on whomever you want.
Now, wouldn't it feel great to get even with someone without the fear of going to jail?
That's right, because how can you go to jail for giving someone a hairy toenail or hair that won't stop growing on a bowling ball? This is an especially effective curse on bald guys.
And don't forget the gypsies are also love experts and have curses where people would rather marry a Gila monster before they would look at you twice than would accept your proposal on a first date.
Now, curses like this would generally cost you a bag of gold, but we only accept cold cash or PayPal at GypsyCurseWarehouse.com.
And these gypsy curses will cost you only $17.99 each or three for $60. And if
what?
You put a line through the tea leaves on the webpage, you can save $1.99 off your first order.
Of course, curses aimed at an entire family will be more depending on how many generations you wish to curse.
And, of course, although these curses are strong and lifelong, gypsy curses are not as strong as a curse from an ex-spouse or her lawyer.
Oh, that's so true. But come to the only gypsy curse clearinghouse on the web, GypsyCurseWarehouse.com.
All right, another bill paid for.
Yes. Give them free airtime over here to keep us amused, but that's how that works. The gypsy curse.
You have to admit, at least we do find unique sponsors.
Yeah, I know, but they need to come up with better spokespersons. That's for sure.
Well, sure, don't tell them that. We'll be out on our butts.
Or run the show on our own dime, right? Oh, my gosh. That was fun. We started out with Blondie. We're going to get a little darker here in a minute with The Shadow.
A little darker and a little more invisible at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one's titled The Curse of the Gypsies.
Yes. And this is of your least favorite Shadow, but the guy that played it longer than anyone else, of course, Brett Morrison. Just that, you know, he was just a younger sounding guy. He had a nice little, he had a nice voice. And the problem with these, as opposed to especially the first year with Orson Welles, he could become the Shadow at any time, at any point in the program. Essentially, by the time it got to these, even a little earlier in the series, there were two times in the script where he would become the Shadow, and it was pretty much timed out to be that way, and only two times. And I don't know why, but that was the formula that they pretty much used throughout the show. So it just took away an element of surprise when you knew it, you know, like at 12 minutes and at 20 minutes, he was going to become the Shadow, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, you got to mix that up a little bit, which I think Orson Welles did pretty well with that. He was sometimes almost for the entire episode, he was the Shadow. So he showed up more towards the end.
And did a lot of, he made a lot more phone calls as the Shadow to the commissioner and stuff. So, and the first year with Orson Welles, actually, everybody, it became such a hot thing that all people who wrote wanted to write for the Shadow at that time. So...
Well, let's get started.
Yes, we can go to, well, you could, Dale, you can just go to October 5th, 1947. How's that?
I'm headed. I'm headed there now.
Once again, your neighborhood blue coal dealer brings you the thrilling adventures of the Shadow, the hard and relentless fight of one man against the forces of evil. These dramatizations are designed to demonstrate forcefully to old and young alike that crime does not pay. Government forecasts indicate that homeowners may face another winter of shortages of all types of fuel for home heating. You're fortunate if you heat with coal, because you're liable to and you're able to store fuel. Call your blue coal dealer tomorrow and place your order so we can schedule early delivery. Make sure that you order the right size for your furnace. And if you're not sure what it could be, ask your blue coal dealer. He'll be glad to inspect your heat plant and may be able to make other recommendations, too, that will help you get more heat and to burn less fuel. Tomorrow, first thing, call the nearest blue coal dealer and ask him to schedule your supply of blue coal for early delivery. The Shadow, who aids the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Years ago in the Orient, Cranston learned a strange and mysterious secret, the hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the voice of the invisible Shadow belongs. Today's drama, The Curse of the Gypsies. For a dozen years, the old Stanfield mansion has been locked tight. Creepers have overgrown the walls. Dead branches scratch at the windows. And now, on a windswept night, three people, Elise King, the Stanfield heiress, her husband Stefan King, and a nurse are coming home. Stefan unlocks the door. And three walk into the long, deserted house. See, Elise. Nothing here but dusty and the musty smell of an old house. No gypsy curses, no ghosts, no...
Oh, I was just closing the door, Mrs. King.
I'll light a candle.
Let there be light, huh? And the terror will end. Then.
No. No, it's worse now. Shadows looming everywhere.
Ah, you're overwrought, my darling, and fine. Get you to bed. Take my arm on the stairs.
Stefan, whose room am I to sleep in?
Your mother's.
Where should have brought us? After that accident? No. No, I won't go up there.
Control yourself, Alicia. No. Conquer these fears. Realize they exist only in your mind.
Stefan. What was that?
I didn't hear anything.
Get it from Father's room.
Mrs. King, please.
Give it to the Glen. His father. Kill him there after all these years.
Stop talking nonsense, Elise. Your father was given a decent burial. You saw him in the grave yourself.
No, he's come back. You must hear that, Stefan. Oh, tell me you hear it.
I hear a noise of some kind. Probably a tree outside the window. But we'll soon find out.
Oh, no.
Right now, I'm opening the door to your father's room. I'll hold the candle up. Elise, what is it?
A man. Hanging by the neck.
I don't see anything, do you, nurse?
No, Mr. King. I don't see anything.
It was good of you and Miss Lane to come down so quickly, Mr. Franklin. Frankly, I'm very uneasy. So I gathered from your telegram, Mr. King.
You also mentioned something about a gypsy curse. The family destroyed.
It's even more sinister than you think, Miss Lane. It's already accounted for the lives of two people. My wife, father, and mother. Now, I'm afraid that Elisa's life is threatened.
Suppose you start at the beginning.
Now, that takes us back a good many years. When George Stanfield, Elisa's father, was a young man, he fell violently in love with a gypsy girl. Silly, he tired herself. He touched her up and married Elisa's mother.
Oh, dear, romance went sour.
Very sour, I'm afraid, Miss Lane. The gypsy girl became crazed with grief and took her own life. But not before she had put a curse on George Stanfield and his family.
Curse? What was the nature of this malady?
That all three of the Stanfields, father, mother, and daughter, should die by violent death, Mr. Fenton.
How horrible.
So far, it has worked out to the letter. Lisa's mother was killed in plain writing, you see.
And Lisa's father?
Death by hanging in this very house. Apparently suicide. Yet he had no reason for doing away with himself. He left no suicide note. There was another suspicious circumstance surrounding each death. The gypsies were encamped across the hill.
The gypsies?
They make their winter headquarters here, Mr.
Oh.
And they're back now.
In that case, it seems a little strange you brought your wife back to this environment, Mr. King.
I did it deliberately on good medical advice. I wanted to prove to you that there was no basis for the neurotic fear to develop. At least, that's the thing I thought it would do.
And what's happened in the meantime?
Well, the first night he arrived, he saw, or thought he saw, the body of a man hanging in her father's room. All in her mind, of course. But
it wasn't all in my mind.
Elise.
There was somebody in that room.
Alicia, please.
I have proof now. I went back in that room. I forced myself to go back in. I was so sure of what I'd seen.
You were very brave. Now, let me introduce our guest.
Oh.
Miss Lane and Miss Cranston. My wife.
How do you do? How do you do?
So you found something in your father's room?
Yes, Mr. Franklin. I picked this up from the floor. A brass earring.
Goodness. It must have been lying there unnoticed ever since the house was locked up.
I doubt it, Mr. King. It was tarnished in that time.
You mean?
You're rightly polished. It couldn't have been dropped there more than 4 days ago.
And somebody's been playing tricks on my wife.
Tricks?
We'll know more about that, Mrs. King, when Margaret and I visited their camp. Come on, darling.
Well,
there's
no chance of finding the one gypsy with
a
missing earring.
Perhaps. Unless we get help from the gypsy fortune.
How is this?
Asleep now. Dave had to done it.
You ought to have done that before she started wandering around the house. She almost upset the apple cart in front of Clint.
But you're blaming me.
I'm not blaming any. You know this. Tonight,
that's your doing, Stefan.
I was all against getting that detective. I'm here.
We have to have someone to testify that Elise was going off her head.
A nice old lady would have done just as well. That wasn't good enough for you. Oh, no, you had to have the Jay Cranston to match with.
Cora.
Now he's got that earring, and Lord knows what he'll find out at the gypsy camp. I'll get enough to hang us both.
Shut up.
I won't shut up. Is my neck as well as yours? And even I'm going to risk it because of your crazy vanity. I'm sorry.
I don't like you, okay?
Just one
That's more like the girl, are you?
You really know that?
Of course, yes.
Then why did he have to go through with him? Why can't he divorce him, Lee?
And lose her fortune? Oh, no, Cora. I've learned to enjoy money too much to get along without it. Aren't you forgetting, dear? It won't be anything as unpleasant as that. Just the suicide of a mentally deranged girl. But frankly, I don't prove anything different.
So, you have found the gypsy earring, Mr. Cranston. And you are very concerned over who might have lost it, huh? You take me for a fool?
Why, Gator?
I have had experience of your kind. Meeting outsiders only mean one thing to gypsy. Trouble.
There'll be more trouble if you refuse to give me information. And a murder takes place at the Stanfield Mansion.
Stanfield? Then it is true. Just as the car told me, Ruby says come back.
Ruby?
The gypsy girl, George Stanfield, grows crazy 30 years ago. He swore he would come back from the grave to destroy him and his dear one.
But that's impossible,
is it? Remember, he came back twice before. And each time it was in the cards. Look, I deal them out to you. You can see for yourself. There.
He is guiding my friend. The black ace.
Followed by the queen. It is certain death, I tell you. You see, Ruby see, back from the grave.
Father!
Take it easy, lady. You live longer.
Come in, Grandino. I was hoping you would drop around. I got some extra special customers tonight. Miss Lane and Mr. Cranston, the detectives.
You don't say. Any little murders you once solved, Mr. Cranston?
That's your specialty, Grandino?
Sure. I know all about them because I commit them. Tuesday is my murder day. The rest of the week I'm drumming up the season.
What were you doing 4 nights ago in the old Stanfield Mansion?
Huh?
I noticed your right ear is pierced. Here's the earring you left behind you.
Why are you...
And I've got a gun, which I think he sees.
Take it easy, Mr. Cranston. Relax. Enjoy yourself. You live longer.
I'm still waiting for my answer, Grandino. What are you doing at the Stanfield, please?
I have told you, Mr. Cranston, it was Ruby, the ghost of the poor child.
I doubt a ghost could give me a window getter. However, if Grandino has nothing to say, we'll take it up with the police. Come on, Margo.
You're funny, Mr. Cranston. Very funny. Glad you think so. I usually play for the last laugh.
Tell
him. They're both mixed up in it. Is this the way Greta suddenly changed character when I mentioned the Stanfield
Mansion? Yes.
Again,
the weird old
fortune telling you. My hunch is he was trying to protect someone. Well, I don't even far enough to the shadow of this weapon.
Someone
up under the tree? No, I just threatened that to put the pressure on Grandino. Just begin to make the next move.
So
there it is now. Isn't there any jacket? Yeah. Apparently in a great hurry to get someplace. I'm going to follow him, Margo, but be careful. Remember, he's got a knife. More than likely, he knows how to throw it. Hello?
Grandino, Mr. King.
You fool, I told you never to phone this house.
Take it easy, Mr. King. If it's Cranston and his girlfriend you're worried about, I picked him.
What?
They took it into their heads to follow me. I led him a merry chase, all right. To the swamp.
But the quicksand.
That's lucky if they ever get out.
Blundering fool, how dare you?
Take it easy, Mr. King. There isn't healthy talk. I'm phoning from the diner to say I'm coming over to see you.
No, it's too dangerous.
Be right over, Mr. King.
Sandino. Sandino. Blundering idiot, he ruined everything.
You mean Miss Lane and Hanson?
If they ever get out of the swamp, they'll be too suspicious. Watch every move I make.
Oh, perhaps it's all for the best, dear.
Oh, don't trust that again, Cora.
That's fine.
Why did I ever trust anyone? It's so easy to fall.
What?
I need to help now. I'll work out some other plan. I won't stop till I've wiped out every last member of the Stanfield family.
And it was you who killed Elisa's father and mother.
What are you talking about?
Put some blame in your mind, revenge. That's why you want to do away with Elise, too. You don't give a rap for me, you never have. You're just using me as an accomplice.
Darling, listen to me.
No, it's too late now.
Too late. You know too much.
Stephanie, that's nice.
You're another fool who had the medal.
Stephanie, you're mad. If he tells you you'll never escape.
You're wrong, Cora. It's my one way out. I've been working out a plan, you see. It starts with you.
We will return to the shadow in just a moment.
But first, it's us.
You know, one thing that's neat about the Shadow is they weren't afraid to look at the different aspects of even horror. That, you know, the gypsy curses and you've got zombies, several shows on witches, ghosts, ghost towns. They weren't afraid to go after some of those different things.
Yeah, we're not afraid to play them here either because it fits right in. To Eevee House and Eevee Things. Hi, Linda Lou. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hey, Linda, you'll have to tune in, go in there and catch our we had a brand new sponsor in just before the show, so you have to run into the archives and catch that after the show here.
Yes. And learn how you can get your own curses.
Your own gypsy curses, yes.
Yep. Everyone should have them.
Everyone should, yeah. But yeah, it's been an interesting weekend with the gypsies and just a interesting group of people who band together. And when you see them in the movies or portrayed in places, half the time they're sticking together, half the time they're trying to kill each other. It is such a unique portrayal of a particular type of people, really a group of people without a country, and how they're looked down on by so many different countries just because of who they are. And essentially the only thing they kind of adopt is when they are in a particular country, they kind of adopt to that country's predominant religion. But outside of that, they're all individual, and they have their own ways of doing things and taking care of things.
Yes. And they do take care of things. Don't run over some guy's wife. Or you're going on a diet plan you would not believe.
That's right. But we still got the second half of the Shadow, so we probably better get rolling here.
Yeah, that way we'll have time to tell people about what to expect next weekend. But first, the conclusion of The Curse of the Gypsies from the Shadow.
Now, back to the Shadow. Lamont and Margot, in search of the truth about a strange gypsy curse, have extricated themselves from the swamp into which they were led by the gypsy Grandino, and are now entering the Sandfield Ranch. The king? I hardly expected it, Margot. My guess is he's out there working a tryst with Grandino.
And you think it's a connection?
Almost certainly. First job is to get a lease out of this house and to safety. After that, we can complete our case against the other two. Let me see. Is this the room?
Yes, it is,
Anthony. There could be something holding the door.
Maybe at least there's a chair for me.
Feel like it? There's nothing to get through.
Oh, it's so dark.
Just a minute. Here's a stick.
The mark.
That's what was holding the door. How does the nurse?
The knife.
Sandino's knife, by the looks of it. Look at the room all torn up as if there'd been a struggle.
Sandino must have come in for a lease, and the nurse died defending him.
Anyway, this is gone now. It's been carried out through this open window.
Yes, yeah, there's dirt on the right.
Come on, Margot. All we can do is follow. I'll go first. Now, careful, darling. I'll give you a hand down.
Here I come.
We'll try the garage first, see if the car is gone. If possible.
Oh, yeah.
Over there, it's Mr. King.
You can hurt him, Mark. That gash on his forehead.
Mr. King, can you hear me?
Oh, Mr. Cranston, help me.
There you are. Now, what happened, Mr. King?
I heard a noise. In fact, I came up to investigate, but there's a scream from the police room. I ran up to the window and I couldn't remember.
Elise is gone.
What? Oh, they've taken her.
Imagine, Mr. King. Margot and I are going after Elise now. Come on, darling.
Forget this, Mr. Cranston. Forget this.
Here now what happened. Whatever game Mr. King is playing with Brandino is backfired. Brandino must have kidnapped Elise, probably for ransom.
Probably taking her back to the gypsy camp. So, Margot, there's only one person who can tell us for sure. Goethe, the fortune teller.
Goethe?
Yes. She's going to get a visitor she didn't foresee in the card. The shadow.
Why did you bring me down to the wine cellar, Grandino?
I want to say a private talk with you, Mr. King.
Well?
5,000 is not enough, Mr. King.
But that was our bargain.
Now Brandino is changing the bargain. 5 grand was all right when I was just playing tricks on your wife, like pretending to hang myself.
And a mess you made of that, dropping your earring.
But now I've gone on to bigger stuff. I've become an artist, you might say. The Botticelli of the Black Duck. That beautiful wound you have on your forehead.
You didn't have to hit me so hard. You almost broke my skull.
They've made a monkey out of Cranston. He's upsetting me now, looking for your wife. And all the time she's lying here doped in the wine cellar. Yes, Mr. King. That ought to be worth a lot of money to you.
How much do you want?
25 grand. You can afford it. So you're rich man soon. A fortune all to yourself. Left by your poor, dead wife.
Another glass of wine?
Yeah. Makes you thirsty looking at these big vats.
Here's to success.
Mud in your eye, Mr. King.
Ah, good job.
Well, Mr. King, thought it over?
What?
The 25 grand.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've come to the conclusion, Brandino. You owed me that much money.
You're funny, Mr. King. You're exhausted.
In fact, very soon now, you won't need any money at all. Very soon.
What? What did you put in that?
That wine, it works fast. You should have stuck to your blackjack, Brandino, and left blackmail alone.
You're funny. Very funny.
You'll get a gypsy burial, Grandino. Your body in a swamp.
And then, I'll be ready for you.
What's wrong with the card? They pay me nothing. No figures come up on the numbers.
Because your days are numbered, Getta.
Who's there?
This is the shadow, Getta.
I hear a voice from nowhere.
Shadow is right here beside you.
What do you want with me?
Where is Elise King?
I don't know.
She was taken from the house. Her husband was knocked unconscious.
What's this one? What's this one? Where did he go?
You seem very concerned about Mr. King.
I
believe I understand. I don't suppose you feel as affectionate toward Granfino?
No, I always say that he was always sniffing around my wedding, trying to find out things.
What things? Your eyes get up.
He was curious about my little boy, the child I adopted long ago.
I see. So you raised an adopted child, Gerda. That must have taken money. Where did you raise it?
I had a rich admirer once. He was generous.
I think I can guess his name. George Stanfield. But this locket around your neck should pull it. There.
Shadow, give that back.
Not till I've read the inscription. My beloved Ruby.
Shadow.
So that's it. You're the crazy girl who was supposed to have died of heartbreak. The gypsy girl who cursed the Stanfield family.
No.
But you lived on to take your revenge. Didn't you, Gerda? Or should I call you Ruby?
Listen to me.
I haven't time for that now. Your son must be stopped before he commits his last crime.
You will be too late. The last of the Stanfields must die tonight. The cards say so.
But the shadow says no.
What are
you doing up here, Stefan?
I have a surprise for you,
Lee. In the attic?
Yes. I found it when I was exploring up here this afternoon. It's old time. Do you recognize it?
My wedding dress.
Here. Let me place it around this thing.
Oh, no. Don't.
You must believe. Do you remember how happy you were that day?
So happy.
Perhaps you put the dress on again. That happiness would come back. Everything that has happened since would disappear like a bad dream.
Oh, if it only would.
Look how prettily it fits the costume.
Oh, you're so kind, Stefan. Thirsty.
Now, my dear, take my hand and step up to the altar.
Up to the altar?
You remember the scent of the flowers and the organ playing softly in the background?
Oh, yes. Yes,
and you remember the present I gave you that day?
Well.
Close your eyes, my dear, and I'll put them on again. A rope of pearls about your neck.
Oh,
you feel them touching your throat?
Oh, there's a rock. Feels like a rope. Oh, that's around my neck.
Goodbye, Elise, last of the Stanfield. Oh. You're going to... What is this? Send it. What? There's someone in here. Where are you? Where are you?
Right here, Stefan.
Whose voice is that?
The shadow, Stefan. I've come for you. Your crimes are over.
You can't prove anything against me, Shadow.
I can prove murder for one thing, Stefan. And for another, trying to drive this poor girl insane.
Yes, Shadow, she is insane. And that's why you can't prove anything against me.
I can prove you're the son of Gerda, the fortune teller, Stefan. And that for her sake, the sake of revenge, you killed Elise's mother and father. Then you killed the nurse, and perhaps Brandino, too.
Yes, Brandino, too. But he'll get the blame for the nurse's death, Shadow. No one can convict me as long as Elise is out of her mind.
No one will have to, Stefan. You yourself are going to write a free and open confession.
Are you mad?
No, but Elise is. And she's coming through now.
What do you mean?
You'll find out. Can you hear me? Shadow, your friend.
Oh, there you are. The son I love.
Didn't
I'm glad because now I can see you.
Distinguished heating authority, John Bartley.
Thank you, Andre Bruce, and good evening, friends.
In buying shoes, you make certain that you get the right size. And in ordering coal for your furnace, size is just as important. The right size of coal will burn better, last longer, and give you more heat for less money. So if you don't know whether your heating plant ought to use chestnut, stove, or egg, better find out. Your neighborhood Blue Coal dealer will be glad to inspect your furnace and to give you expert advice. He may be able to show you other ways to get better heating too, such as better draft control and elimination of small leaks. Yes, to really save fuel and to get better heat, be sure that your furnace is clean, be sure that it's efficient, and be sure that you order the right size of coal. I thank you. This story is copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. The names, characters, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Again, next week, The Shadow will demonstrate that
the weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, your friendly Blue Coal dealer brings you another strange and thrilling adventure in the Shadow's daring battle against the forces of evil. The Shadow is presented by the T.L.W. Coal Company, distributors of Blue Coal. The Lamont Manson is played by Brett Morris. Margo by Grace Matthews. Your announcer, Andre Baruch. Remember, it's Blue Coal for finest heating service. It's Blue Coal for finest modern equipment. It's Blue Coal for the best home heat money can buy. Friends, partially handicapped workers are often better workers. Your local public employment office lists many workers who are not handicapped for your business, who are more careful, more reliable, more conscientious. Yes, it's good business to hire the handicapped. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Quite light. Many false endings, fooling.
You know, you could always hit the stop button there, buddy.
Nah, I'd rather look stupid. The bet's much better for comedic effect.
Oh shoot!
Wiley Coyote, super genius. Moment. Before plunging off the cliff of Radio Land. Hey, well, that blew any opportunity of getting our little song in there that we had a gypsy song for you.
Yeah.
You can play it in the archive if you come back.
We can do that. We could encourage people to come back to the archive. Oh, my. That was fun. hey, what do we got going on next week on Erie House Radio, Dale?
Not a flipping thing. No, actually, we are we're going for the kitty cats. That's right. Cats! Cats on the loose! Cats everywhere! Cats here, cats there. We got Suspense, Dragnet, Sherlock Holmes, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and we might just, because we're nice, squeeze in a strange Dr. Weird for the first time in a long time. Right? Dave? Still there? I lost my Dave. Dave! Yoo-hoo! Well, he'll be back. In any event, folks, thanks for dropping by tonight. Whether you're live, like with the you, and those we can't see, or if you're listening in the archive. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, we will be talking about those kitty cats next weekend.
Meow!
Yeah.
Meow!
Yes.
Meow!
Meow, 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 meow,
when next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Handle them. Thank you. Night.
Night. You can stop now. There you go.
So you got axed right before the show ended, and I'm like, oh.
I did, and I said, uh-oh, if I don't clock on right there. Well, I said, okay, did I lose Dale or did I lose me? And I heard bloop, which means I lost me. So I got in there and clicked right in right away because I knew that I would be not able to call in after Ascended.
Yep. Have you done any scheduling past next weekend? Because that's where my schedule ends, 1:30.
Let me see.
I see something dropped right after it, like for possibly the first week in February.
I just need to move some things around. Yeah, that gives me a chance to maybe think about maybe tonight I'll do a little bit more extra scheduling. And yeah, the next one down there would be for the Eerie House's Bleeding. So that'll be the next weekend. And then tonight, since we don't have Gar, I will work on doing some extra scheduling in here this evening and send you the schedule.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Yeah, but we got some bleeding to take care of the week after the cats. And you know what? That's not a surprise because after my cats play with me, I got some bleeding I got to do myself.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't retract, you know, when they should.
Yeah, they forget that sometimes they play a little rough.
Little monsters. but you got to love them.
You do.
Cats is good people. Except that lie. Except that lying thing. Cats will lie. A dog is incapable of lying. His body language will give him away.
Yes.
Who broke that? And the dog's like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, dogs have a way of even look guilty when they didn't do it. Cause so the cat will say, when the cat does it, the cat will just say, the dog did it. The dog says, maybe I did. I'm sorry.
I don't remember. You're still the boss. grovel. But they're good animals. Good animals.
Yes, they are. So, did you want to throw a dime in the jukebox there and play off our song we couldn't get into our theme?
I would love to hear it. A little bang, is it not?
A little bing, a little bang a bing, yeah.
Thank you, pardon. All right, let's have a little bing. Bing.
Howdy, Bing. What you going to start off with today?
Well, I thought you might do the first song, Rosie.
Well, I'm sorry, partner. I'm still on my coffee break.
Okay, I'll sing then.
This may be your big opportunity.
You never can tell when it'll come.
If I am fancy free and I love to wander, that's just a gypsy in my soul. There's something calling me from away out yonder. It's just the gypsy in my soul. I've got to give vent to my emotions. I'm only content having my way. There is no other life of which I'm fonder. It's just the gypsy in my soul. No cares, no strings. My heart's flying on wings. If I am fancy free and I love to wander, it's just a gypsy in my soul. And I'm got to be low. of which I'm fonder. Just a gypsy in my soul. No cares, no strings. My heart's leaping on wings. If I am fancy free and I love to wander, that's just a gypsy in my soul.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Deep
cleaner himself. Yes. And, was, you know, probably as many things that Bing hasn't sung about. Matter of fact, he even sang a song once about that there isn't anything that he hasn't sung about. It was on one of his later commercial albums called Feels Good, Feels Right, and he was kind of doing a jazz disco type beat. It was a lot of people beat up on. There were a couple of really nice songs on that album. And of course, I have that vinyl in my collection.
Naturally. I hesitate to think that I'm certain it was not Mel Blanc, but there was if you recall, a Warner Brothers cartoon that takes place in a coupe, a hen house, and there's a Bing Crosby like rooster that's singing. He has the pipe.
Oh, okay. I wish I knew
who did the voice, and I do not know who did the voice. I don't think it was Bing, and I don't think it was Mel Blanc either.
Yeah, because Mel didn't do all the voices. He just got credited for all of them because other people did some of the voices in there.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Q. Bryan was the first Elmer Fudd, I believe, and
yes. He
got doing a Joe. He was actually doing Joe Penner. You had June Foray. She never got credit for all the work that she did in there. Stan Freeberg actually was one of the two chipmunks and did some other voices there as well. So. He did one of the dogs, too. So it just, you're right. It's really hard to tell. When it came to some of the impressions, though, Stan Freeberg did some marvelous impressions. Matter of fact, in the mid 50s, I think it was, they did a tribute to Kay Kaiser, who had retired. They brought back a lot of his band members and his singers. And the parts that Kay Kaiser did before, you know, at the beginnings of the songs,
yes.
Stan Freeberg did Kay Kaiser in that. And,
oh, wow, that's great.
And of course, I have that on vinyl as well.
Dave has the recorded history of the entire planet on vinyl.
Well, the older stuff anyway, the older stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. Somebody's got to keep this stuff.
Oh, so it's, yeah. So you're right. I don't know, but it could have been. I'm trying to think of any time I heard Stan do a Bing Crosby type voice. And I can't recall him doing that. So
That was the sweetest thing. Did you see what Linda Lou wrote on the way out?
I did not. Let me see.
That was the sweetest thing. See you next week. Thanks for what you guys do. Now, smart remarks like that make this worthwhile.
Yes, yes, it does. And she wasn't showing off for anybody because nobody else was there but her tonight.
Yeah, in the chat anyway that we know of.
In the chat, yes.
And there's a problem with it, Dave. I don't know if it looks that way on your side, but Linda Lou's icons disappeared.
Yeah, but then remember mine did at 1.2, so I think it's. Again, you know, Blog Talk does have its idiosyncrasies, shall we say.
Idiosyncrasies?
I was going to say idio, but yeah, that works too, you know.
Yes. And we are hoping Brother Gart gets better soon.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's something more recoverable for than some of his other things. And he's on medication, so I'm sure.
Yep.
I would be very surprised if he were not back in harness with us again next week or Erie House Radio when we when the kiddies are coming.
Wow. Kitty cats, and how appropriate to have CBS Radio Mystery Theater on for the Saturday show.
Yeah.
You know, of course, they got the kitty cat in their emblem, their logo.
Yes.
As
yes. The yes, a black cat. The good old black cat.
Yep, that's my Joey. That's the second black cat I've ever had.
We had the one Whisper, because she always is always had kind of a yelp there, so always yapping.
That's cute. We had one that we call her the Beep, because her little voice when she was real tiny was like a little beep, beep. So she was the Beep. She actually had the article "the" as part of her name. It wasn't Beep. It was the Beep.
Mm-hmm. The Beep.
So funny how they all have different personalities too. They're so different from one another, you know. Some are extremely affectionate, and some are very standoffish. Yeah, I'm good by myself. Hey, where's my food? Okay, thanks. Now go away. But some of them, that Beep could not leave my wife alone. She was attached.
Yeah.
I never seen two creatures so close together like those two. Unreal.
Unreal.
Unreal. But, got a lot more radio coming this year. We will hit show number 500 at some point in about 15 weeks, maybe, roughly.
You mean 1,000, yeah.
Well, no, 1, 000, show number 500 of Erie House.
Oh, of Erie House. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, tonight was 472, folks. 472 Erie House radios.
Boy, that's a lot of... I was going to say it's a lot of radio. It's also a lot of torture. But, I mean, it's a lot of radio.
Yes, it's punishment that you deserve, folks. Whatever you did, it must have been pretty bad.
It must have been.
This is your punishment. Must have been. Probably time.
No. Well, sir, I think I'm kind of winding down a little bit here, so perhaps...
I think I am, too. Maybe the schnoz is coming around the corner.
I think I hear that. I think I see the schnoz. He's coming around the corner. It might be another minute before he gets here, but I see the schnoz around that corner.
Yeah, he can't be too far behind.
Yep.
Oh, God. Good night, folks.
Hey.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Make me a size of Jackson food.